was writing to the Jewish Christians that were scattered through Judea and Samaria. And they were scattered because they were persecuted from those like Saul. Now, James, he is writing this book to encourage the Jewish Christians in the Lord. Tonight, I want us to look at different characteristics of different Christians. And if I was going to have a title, it would be, "What Kind of Christian Are You?" So let's go ahead. We'll just open up in a word of prayer and then go from there. Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me now. I pray, Lord, you'd help my thoughts to be clear. I thank you and trust you for that. We love you in your name. Amen. I guess I better turn there myself. That would help. So James 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So tonight, the different kinds of Christians that I want to just briefly look at would be the enduring Christian, the weak Christian, the religious Christian, the practicing Christian, and then last we'll look at some instructions that James has given to the Christian. So the enduring Christian, we see him in verse 12 here. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Now, as we go through our lives, we go through different trials and even temptations. And the enduring Christian is one that through all of that, he displays two things. He displays faithfulness, and he displays trust. We know in the life of Paul, we look at his example and his faithfulness to the Lord, and his faithfulness through the many trials that he went through. He didn't ever stop and say, "Oh, I give up, I'm done with this, I just want to have an easy life again, and I don't want to worry about this." No, through everything, he kept going, he kept enduring, and he wasn't enduring and dreading it the whole time. He was enjoying it the whole time. It was hard, but he was happy to be in the service of the Lord. The enduring Christian will walk daily with God, and we will never be able to please God unless we have faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6 real quick. That's a very familiar passage. May not even have to turn there because you know the verse, but Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So, if we're going to be enduring Christians, we need to be faithful to God, be faithful to his word, be faithful to the calling that he has given us. God will not be pleased with our lives either unless we have faith. Some things that we can show our faith in is church attendance, Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, and then also spending time in God's word, and then sharing the gospel. Acts chapter 16, let me turn there real quick. In verse 25, Paul here, he took this opportunity to share the gospel. He wasn't in the best of circumstances. He was in jail, but he saw an opportunity and he took it. He was faithful to God's calling. Acts 16:25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Here, Paul and Silas, they took an opportunity to share the gospel with someone in need. You know, it would have been easy for them in their situation to leave that jail and to go on their way. But they were faithful to God's calling, as we must be. We must be enduring Christians. We must display faithfulness in our lives, and we must also display trust. An enduring Christian displays trust. A few examples of men that have displayed trust are from the Old Testament, some that I picked out, some of my favorites. David, he was a man through his whole life. Though he failed, he always put his trust in God. He trusted God. Psalms 7:1, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. It says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me. David, when he was being chased around by Saul, and even by his own son at one point, he always put his trust in God. He went through a hard time there. He didn't look on himself and say, oh me, oh my. No, he said, Lord, in thee do I put my trust. Save me. And that's what we must do as well. David, he displayed trust. And then Daniel, he trusted in God as well. Daniel 1:8. These are all familiar passages. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel, he trusted God in this. He was taking a chance here. This wasn't something where, in a normal situation, someone stands up and says, nope, I'm not going to do what the king says. I want it done this way. You're not going to last very long. But Daniel, he had already purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. And he had decided that he was going to trust God and follow God no matter what the outcome. Also in Daniel chapter 3, we see his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love this passage of Daniel chapter 3 and just how everything comes about. But verse 18 of chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me start in 16. I'll start in verse 15. Verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That means they weren't going to be political in their answer. They were just going to tell him, just like it is. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to trust God no matter what. They didn't care about the physical pain or death that they were going to experience. They said, no, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. That's how much faith they had. It was already set in their mind that they were going to be delivered from this furnace. But then they go on to say, but if God chooses not to do that, that's okay. We're ready. We're going to trust our God before we disobey him. How often do we have that same courage, that same trust in God, that we say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do what you have for me. I'm going to follow your word and obey you and do your will for my life. How often do we say that and follow that every day? I know for me, it's easy for me to get off track. I'm kind of like a dog sometimes, you know, go squirrel, you know, and it's like, whew, or there's a stick, or, you know, that's just, I'm like that sometimes. It's easy for us to get off track, but when we trust God and we focus on him, we'll stay on track and we'll continue in His will for our lives. So the enduring Christian, he displays faithfulness and he displays trust. He also displays his love for God through obedience. We know John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said that. So we see the enduring Christian here. Next, I would like for us to look at the weak Christian. Verse 13 of James. Go back to James chapter 1. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The weak Christian, he'll blame God for his weaknesses. He'll say, well, God, you didn't give me what I needed to overcome this temptation. Or, God, why did you put me in this situation? You knew I couldn't handle it. I was going to fail and get off track. No, the weak Christian, he's quick to blame God. He's quick to blame others for the reason why he got off track. And he's also easily enticed by the world. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 2 Timothy 4:9. I'll read this real quick. Oh, it must be 1 Timothy. That's not right. No, it is 2 Timothy 4:9. The weak Christian, he's easily enticed by the world. And we see this. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's closing this letter out. And he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Here, Paul, he's going, as he's closing this, he mentions several people in this passage, and one of them is Demas. He forsook Paul, really forsook Christ, having loved this present world. He was quick to see the shiny things that this world had to offer. It was a lot better than probably the persecution in his eyes. It was a lot better than the persecution that he was facing, and it was going to be a much easier road to just, hey, I'm going to go do my own thing. The world has more to offer. I'm going to do that instead. Now, he was a weak Christian. He was easily enticed by the world. The weak Christian also continues in sin. But what does the Bible say about that? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The weak Christian makes excuses for their sin. And they look for people who are going to agree with them. That, oh yeah, what you're doing is okay. No big deal. No, you're fine. You can do that. Those legalists, they really just want to get on you so they can control you for whatever it is. But no, we can't continue in our sin. We must go to God's Word. What did David say? He said, search me, O God. When we truly want God to search us and to reveal sin in our lives, He will do it. And it won't be fun. It's never fun when, you know, someone has to point out sin in our lives or something that we're doing wrong. That's a hard thing to take in and a hard thing to change, because we want to do things our own way because we're right. But, you know, the weak Christian, That's what they say. No, I'm okay. No, don't worry about me. I'm doing right. Oh no. The Bible really didn't say it and mean it that way. It can mean this or that or whatever. No. We must be careful not to make the Bible say what we want it to and continue in our sin. We must take the Bible for what it says literally. We must follow it. So we see the weak Christian. The weak Christian, he's one that blames God for his weaknesses. He's easily enticed by the world, and he continues in his sin. Next, I want us to look at the religious Christian. The religious Christian. The religious Christian wears a facade. I say religious, that's in quotation. He wears a facade. He says one thing, and he does another. He's a pretender. Acts 5:1. We see a Christian couple that they wanted to look good to everybody. They wanted to have a name for themselves. They were wearing a facade. Acts 5:1, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then we see that his wife, she came and she did the same thing. And God ended both of their lives right then and there. God doesn't necessarily deal with us that way today. I'm thankful for that, because I think none of us would be here if that were the case. But the religious Christian, he wears a facade. He's a pretender. It would have been so much better if Ananias and Sapphira said, look, we sold our land. Here's 2/3 of the price we got for it. The other third we need to survive, to stay alive. It would have been so much easier for them to tell the truth and be honest about it than to say, here's everything that we got from our land. And what did they end up with? Nothing. God took their lives. They didn't get to enjoy any of the blessings from their gift or any of that. Religious Christian, they wear a facade and they flaunt their religion. In Luke 18, we see a man who is religious. And he is flaunting this in front of a crowd. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, there's a great example of that in Daniel chapter 4. We see Nebuchadnezzar. He walks out onto his balcony and he says, look at everything that I've done with my power. And God said, Nebuchadnezzar, this same hour, you're going to be in the field as a beast. And you're going to stay that way for 7 long years. You know what Nebuchadnezzar learned at the end of that? At the end of that, he said, I extol and praise and honor the Most High God. You know, God took his kingdom away just like that. Within the hour of Nebuchadnezzar stepping out on that balcony and saying, "Look at everything I've done and I've accomplished," God, he took that away. And that was bonus. But the religious Christian, he flaunts his religion. He's a prideful man. He's someone that thinks he's better than everyone else. The religious Christian, all of his work is vain. Everything that the religious Christian does is for nothing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." The religious Christian, all of his work is going to be vain. It's going to be that wood, that hay and stubble, because he's doing it in his strength for his glory and not for the glory of God. It's all going to burn up and he will be saved as yet by fire. It says the wood, hay, and stubble. It will all burn up. So the religious Christian, he wears a facade, flaunts his religion, and all of his work is vain. Next, I'd like for us to quickly look at the practicing Christian. If you look down to verse 27 of James 1, verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." The practicing Christian, he ministers to others. 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul, he was a man that ministered to people. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, it says, "And I will very gladly spend to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." He said, "And I will very, very gladly spend and be spent for you." Paul was a man. He would minister to others. He was happy to do it. He was very willing to spend his life for other people. And we must be willing to spend and be spent for others as well. A practicing Christian also remains undefiled from the world. I'll just give some references. 1 John 2:15 through 16, and also Romans 12:2. The practicing Christian, he ministers to others and remains undefiled from the world. And then I'll just give this list here of things that James has given as instruction for the Christian. In verses 19 through 25, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now here, James gives some instruction for the Christian. He tells them to listen. Swift to hear. And he also tells them that they need to think or be slow to speak. And then he says to have a controlled temper. Tells him to be slow to wrath. And then as we read on through that passage, he in essence says to reject the world's philosophy, willingly accept God's word, and then we must put our faith into action. How do we put our faith into action? One word that I'm looking for that can answer this. What is putting our faith into action? Obedience. That's obedience to God's word. And that's putting your faith into action. So the instruction for the Christian, we need to listen to God through his word and also through the man of God. We need to think before we speak. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Now that tells us to sing with the understanding, with the spirit and understanding. I just better turn there real quick. I'm going to mess that up. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So here, we need to think. We need to understand what we're going to be speaking about or what we're singing about or what we're talking about. We need to think through before we talk. We need to have a controlled temper. We need to reject the world's philosophy, willingly accept God's word, and put our faith into action. So tonight, we've looked at the enduring Christian, the weak Christian, the religious Christian, and the practicing Christian. And as we leave here tonight, I hope that we'll consider these things and just look at our lives and determine which one are we. You know, I hope we're all the enduring Christian and the practicing Christian. Not the weak or religious Christian, because both of those, all of their work is vain, and God is not going to be pleased with our lives if we're that weak Christian or that religious Christian. So, again, just consider these things as we go our separate ways tonight. And ask God to help you be the Christian that he wants you to be. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for this time. Pray, Lord, that you would just use it for your honor and glory, and we'll trust you for that. We love you in your name. Amen. Okay. Adam left me a note here. He says to remind you all to call, text, or stop in to see Pastor if you're able at any time. So just probably give him a quick text or call if you're going to stop in. But I know he'd like to see you guys. So that's it. So you guys are dismissed.